If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through the first part of verse 2 as we continue in our series, Revival for Christmas. Isaiah chapter 61, starting at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for Christmas time. And I pray, Lord, as we look at our nation right now, how desperately, Lord, the nation and your church needs revival in America. Just ask and pray you would show us this morning that that revival comes from the salvation that you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word, teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last December the 1st, about 2 a.m., off of 375 in downtown Detroit, Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus were gassing up their car at a speedway when all of a sudden two guys walked up, said something nasty about Mrs. Claus, and started swinging. So Santa took out a Glock, shot one of them in the chest, the other one in the hand, and took off running before two off-duty cops chased him down and took him into custody. Holy cow, Santa, talk about being naughty or nice. We're all sinners, people, even Santa Claus. So the number one thing that we need for Christmas, the number one thing we need for revival is salvation. Not from Santa Claus, but from Jesus Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can get it. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Revival for Christmas, looking at three things that we need to do at Christmas time that can also get us that revival that we desperately, desperately need. Last time we saw that in order to get revival for Christmas, we need to focus on Jesus and His coming. And today we see that in order to get revival for Christmas, we also have to focus on Jesus and His salvation. And to see that, we turn today to Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 61 is a prophecy about revival for the nation of Israel after the Babylonian exile. And our text today tells us how that revival would come about through the ministry and salvation through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that it's that salvation in Jesus Christ that's going to give us the revival that we desperately need in America today. Our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, tells us three things that we need to do to focus on salvation and get revival for Christmas. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to focus on salvation and get revival for Christmas, we need to accept His forgiveness. And that's exactly what Isaiah is prophesying here in verse 1. And we know that he's talking about the things that Jesus would do during His earthly ministry, because Luke chapter 4, when Jesus preaches His first sermon in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus says, these verses are talking about me and everything that I'm going to do on my bucket list. And it ain't bragging if you can do it. And notice what's mentioned first. Preaching the good news, the gospel, that there is salvation and forgiveness in Jesus Christ when we turn to Him and accept that forgiveness. And Holy Ghost, a Christmas present, people, do we ever need that forgiveness right now? Men's Health magazine says the average American has gained 8 pounds during this pandemic. Ho, ho, ho. President Trump supposedly lost the state of Georgia by 12,000 votes. And yet here's the fact, 66,000 voters in Georgia were legally underage when they voted. 10,315 voters in Georgia were dead on election day. 2,423 voters voted illegally because they were convicted felons. America needs forgiveness because our nation is as guilty as sin when it comes to election fraud. Crime going through the roof during the lockdown. Carjackings up 129% in Chicago. Murder up 95% in Minneapolis. How's that defunding the police thing working out for you? Illinoisans bought $100 million worth of recreational pot in just the last 2 months. Porn sites like Pornhub and Tumblr are busier than they have ever been before. We need forgiveness. Actress Megan Fox has been hooking up with a rapper called Machine Gun Kelly and just filed for divorce from her husband, Brian Austin Green. And this is what she says about it. More than anything else, I want to make sure our kids are okay because my kids are always my number one priority. People, what a crock. If her kids really were her number one priority, she'd drop her boy toy, go back to her husband, and work on her marriage. We need forgiveness. Back in 2017, Bears general manager Ryan Pace drafted quarterback Mitch Trubisky when he could have drafted either Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes instead. And I realize that's not the unpardonable sin, but it is the Bears fans. The biggest thing we need for Christmas, the biggest thing we need for revival, we need to have our sins forgiven. And that is exactly why Jesus Christ came to earth the first Christmas time. Not just to be born for us, but to die for us. There's only two chapters in the entire Bible about Jesus' birth. But there are dozens and dozens of chapters in the Bible about Jesus' death. Because it's not the old rugged manger that saves us, it's the old rugged cross. And why? The Bible says that God is so holy, our sin separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And that punishment should separate us from God for eternity in a place called hell. But at Christmas time, we hear the good news, the gospel, that God loved us so much in spite of our sin. 2,000 years ago, He sent Jesus Christ down to this earth as God in the flesh. And Jesus lived a perfect life and died a perfect death on the cross. Because when Jesus died on that cross, all of our sin was transferred to Him. All of His righteousness was transferred to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we could have His righteousness. Merry Christmas. Everybody and his brother today so freaked out about the coronavirus when they really ought to be worried about sin. Because here's the biggest fact that the honchos will not tell you. Coronavirus does not affect all people in exactly the same way. So unless you are a senior citizen or somebody with pre-existing medical conditions, COVID-19 is not deadly at all. But sin is deadly for everybody because everybody sins. Only 0.22% of Americans will ever have COVID. But everybody has sin. And there's no vaccine for it because every single one of us is born with sin already in our system. The mortality rate for COVID is only 0.023%. But the mortality rate for sin is 100%, which means every single one of us is going to die from it someday. So even if you do get a vaccine for COVID and don't die from that, you're eventually still going to die from something else. Does everybody understand that? COVID-19 is not the issue. The issue is sin. We've got to make sure that we're right with Jesus Christ to have that sin taken away from us. So all you people that have the flop sweats about the coronavirus and not concerned about sin at all, you got your priorities out of whack. You don't need to get a shot. You need to get saved. But the problem is too many people in America today don't believe that. Well, Kevin, there are many roads to God. How many all realize the Bible does not say that? Jesus said there's only two roads. There's a broad road that leads to hell. There's a narrow road that leads to life in Jesus Christ. Barack Obama is now going all over the place telling young people, you are perfect just exactly like you are. No, you're not, because you've got a sin nature inside of you that you need to take care of. Because the problem is not society or hate or guns or homophobia or systemic racism. The problem is not out there. The problem is in here. So forget about being born that way. You need to be born again in Jesus Christ. Which means you're certainly not going to get what you need from Him. Regardless of what the world says about Him. Ever since this whole pandemic started, everybody and his brother has gone absolutely gaga over Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who served in 6 different presidential administrations and helped lead the fight against everything from SARS to Ebola to HIV and everything in between. And when COVID broke out in America, President Donald Trump made him a part of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. But because Dr. Fauci never turned down an opportunity to get on TV, and because he's a leftist who disagrees with Donald Trump about a lot of things, the media turned him into a superstar. conveniently overlooking the fact that Dr. Fauci has been wrong about all kinds of things, mostly because he hasn't seen a real live human patient in over 37 years. So when COVID broke out in China last December, Dr. Fauci said it was nothing that Americans were ever going to have to worry about. Then when COVID came to America, he was telling people, it's fine, keep going on cruises, keep going on vacations. Then when COVID really got bad, he said Americans shouldn't have to wear masks because Dr. Fauci likes predicting things after the fact and then pretending that he knew it all along. Dr. Fauci also said there wasn't going to be a vaccine for COVID until late of 2021, the last part of next year. And in the meantime, Americans needed to stay on 100% lockdown. Something that President Trump disagreed with, because even though Dr. Fauci thinks about health, President Trump has to think about health, plus the economy, plus unemployment, plus national security, all of those things rolled into one. But see, when the Never Trumpers heard Dr. Fauci disagreeing with the president, they started worshiping the guy. So it wasn't the people who were a part of President Trump's Operation Warp Speed who actually developed the vaccine for COVID. They weren't the heroes. Dr. Fauci was the hero. So he got to do a bit on Saturday Night Live and throw out the first pitch at a Washington Nationals baseball game. And he was on every magazine cover from In Style to Vanity Fair. People magazine even made him one of the top 20 people in the world in 2020 as the no-nonsense voice for a divided nation searching for hope. And see the t-shirt? In Dr. Fauci, we trust. And man, oh man, did Dr. Anthony Fauci ever love every single minute of it. But see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, everybody in the world was suffering from the worst killer pandemic of all, and that's sin. And Jesus was never wrong about it, because he told us exactly what it was, and that it was going to kill people and send them to hell. But unlike Dr. Fauci, Jesus didn't just do press conferences and talk about it. He actually did something about it. He cured it by dying on the cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead to prove that that cure was 100% effective for everybody who repents and believes in him. Top that, Dr. Fauci. And all along the way, Jesus never got on Saturday Night Live. Jesus never got on the cover of Vanity Fair because he was despised and rejected of men. And so humble in heart, after he would do miracles, he would even tell people not to say anything about him. So when your ever-loving soul is on the line, you don't trust in man, you trust in God. Because you don't just need advice from Dr. Fauci, you need salvation from Jesus Christ. Because Acts chapter 4, verse 12, forgiveness and salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. The first thing we need to do to focus on salvation and get revival for Christmas, we need to accept His forgiveness. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to focus on salvation and get revived. We not only need to accept His forgiveness, we've got to receive His freedom. Revival comes not only from the forgiveness of sins, but freedom from sins. And that's exactly what Isaiah is talking about here. Freedom for the captives, release for the prisoners, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus will do just like the Jubilee year did for Israel, when all debts were forgiven and everything that was lost was restored. There's forgiveness, restoration, and freedom in Jesus Christ. Freedom from the effects of the sin that we commit, like addiction. Because every single one of us is addicted to something that takes away the pain, aren't we? Maybe it's that vodka you drink out of your Yeti cup because everybody else just thinks it's tea. Maybe it's pot. Last year, Lady Gaga was smoking 18 joints a day. So don't tell me that pot isn't addictive. Maybe it's the porn. And the masturbating along with a dopamine rush to your brain just makes that habit even harder to break. So you do it. And then you swear up and down you're never going to do it again until you do it again. I know young people who are so addicted to their phone, they are texting in their sleep. Maybe it's your kid's Ritalin pills that you're taking. You say, Kevin, whatever gets you through the night is all right. No, it isn't. Because the devil is trying to use that addiction to keep you bound and to keep you from serving God and to try to take you out. So listen to me. You've got to fight against that thing. So whatever that is that you're addicted to, you cut off the source, you get accountability partners in your life, and you get closer to Jesus than you have ever been before. That's how Jesus breaks the power of addictions. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Maybe what has you bound is guilt. That guilt that you feel from sins committed in the past. And when you think about it, the devil says, pack your bags, we're going on a guilt trip. And it's never going to end. Even though you have prayed for forgiveness many times before. Maybe it was guilt for that abortion that you had. Got this email last year from a woman who had an abortion when she was 16 years old, 21 years ago. This is what she said. I made the most awful decision of my life because other people wanted me to do it and I wasn't strong enough to do the right thing. And Planned Parenthood never told me about all the bad things that would happen after the abortion, like the guilt and the regret. To this day, I still can't hold any babies that my friends have. And even though it's been 21 years, at Christmas time, when I see a baby Jesus, it hits me all over again. And my biggest fear is that one day I will meet that child I aborted in heaven. And what am I supposed to say to him? I know the Bible says that God will forgive me. But Pastor, do you really think He will? Guilt. There's parents listening to this sermon right now, sitting right here in this room. You feel guilty because your kids aren't Christians. And you beat yourself up over and over again. What in the world did I do wrong? Listen to me. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Because when you stand before God on Judgment Day, the only thing that God is going to judge you for is whether or not you taught your kids. God is not going to judge you on how your kids responded to it. That's what your kids are going to be judged for. So God does not want you to live your life in regret, not one single second. But see, the devil never told you that, did he? Because the devil loves guilt trips. Because he owns the travel agency. And he gets to ride shotgun on every single one of them. But see, those addictions, those wrong guilt feelings, things like that are called strongholds in our lives. And behind every one of those strongholds is a strong man called the devil. And he's a lot stronger than we are. That's why we can't break ourselves out of him. But see, Jesus can do that for us. And why? Mark 3:27. Because Jesus can bind up the strong man and destroy those strongholds in our lives and set us free and convince us that we really are forgiven. So even if your ex never forgives you for cheating on her, God will. Even if your kids never forgive you for being mommy dearest, God will. Even if your parents never forgive you for flunking out of high school and getting pregnant, God will. Because Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, when you turn to the Lord, He says, I will remember your sin no more. And if God can forget it, you can forget it too. Freedom. Freedom not only from the bad things that we've done, but also freedom from bad things that other people did to us as well. Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter, grew up with a dad who beat him like a pinata every single day. Maybe you had a mom who was Cruella de Vil, who would lock you in the closet and scare the daylights out of you. You had an older brother who cut you out of your parents' will. You got sexually molested by an uncle. You got raped after a party in college. And to this day, you feel like that gunk that you scrape off the bottom of your shoe. And you say, Kevin, I'm trying to forget that. But see, that's the problem, isn't it? You can't forget it. And when the flashbacks come, they hit you so hard, they suck the life right out of you, don't they? The ghost of Christmas past, haunting every single day of your life. Megan Rapinoe, that purple-haired soccer player and flag protester on the U.S. Women's Olympic team, grew up with an older brother named Brian who was an incredible soccer player. But he was also a drug addict. So he was constantly using and constantly getting arrested, constantly being put in prison, in and out, in and out. So Megan Rapinoe grew up with so much turmoil in her home. When she was 8 years old, she decided she was going to become her brother to replace the son that her parents lost because it grieved him so much, she was going to become him and take his place. So she started to play soccer just like he did and started to get really good at soccer just like he did and started falling in love with girls just like he did. And to this day, Megan Rapinoe identifies as lesbian and is living in a lesbian relationship. We know what causes homosexuality, folks. People aren't born that way. It's a bad response to some bad things that happen in people's lives. But see, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, when Jesus died on the cross, He not only bore all of our sins, He also bore all of our griefs and sorrows too. So Jesus not only died for the sins that we committed, He also died for all the sins that other people committed against us, to destroy the power that those sins have over us, literal Hebrew, to carry them away forever. So whatever that hurt is in your life, you open up about it, you give it to the Lord, He will set you free from it and give you the power to forgive the people who hurt you. And not because what they did to you was okay, but to make sure that that hurt does not destroy the rest of your life forever. Because in Christ, you are not a victim. You are a victor. You are not damaged goods. You are a new creation in Christ. Freedom. No matter how bad that person may have hurt you. Last November the 3rd, Brian Fritz from Champaign, Illinois, was fishing in Kaufman Lake there when all of a sudden he saw a little female black and white dog submerged in waist-high water in that lake inside of a crate, paddling like crazy to stay above the water while the weight of that crate was pressing her further and further down. Somebody obviously threw that dog in that lake, in that crate, to drown her and kill her. So Brian Fritz pulled her out and noticed right away she had been abused something awful. She was freezing, she was shaken, totally exhausted. She had been starved. She had cuts and burns and welts all over her body. And because she had been paddling for so long against the bottom of that crate, all the skin, all the pads had been scraped off the bottom of her feet. Blood all over the place. So he rushed her to the vet and got her treated for hypothermia and exhaustion and starvation and all the burns and all the cuts and all the welts. And then what do you know? As sad a shape as she was in, Brian Fritz adopted her and gave her the name Dory, and loved her, and took care of her, and used a ton of bacon treats to even help her overcome fear of the water. So today, this is a brand new dog. So today, she's not only swimming in that very same lake she almost died in, she runs 5Ks with her brand new owner. She's happy as a clam. Listen to me. I don't care how bad somebody may have hurt you in the past. Today, you can get a brand new master whose name is Jesus Christ. And He will adopt you and love you and take care of you and help you overcome all the bad things that happened to you in the past if you let Him. Revival comes from letting Jesus heal your heart and set you free. And there's somebody sitting in this church right now. Would you let Jesus Christ do that for you today? Freedom. And the biggest thing that people need to be set free from today is simple unbelief. Just like him. 40 years ago last Tuesday, the world was shocked to learn that former Beatle John Lennon had been shot and killed in front of the Dakota Hotel in New York City by a madman named Mark David Chapman, December 8th, 1980. But sadly enough, John Lennon fought unbelief and went back and forth between Jesus and the devil his entire life. He grew up in Liverpool, England, and even though his bio dad abandoned him when he was 5 years old, his mom raised him at St. Peter's Anglican Church there, where he went to Sunday school and Bible study and youth group and sang in the choir 3 times a week. When John Lennon was 15 years old, he got confirmed in that church and promised to reject the devil and all rebellion against God. When he was 16 years old, he got a guitar and found out that he was really good at music and started playing in different bands with one of his best friends named Paul McCartney, whom he met in that church. And 2 years later, when he was 18 years old, his mother was killed in a car accident. So John Lennon started drinking and drugging and poured his entire heart and soul into his music to lose himself and overcome the grief and started a band called the Beatles. So at the start of Beatlemania, John Lennon was already high on sex, drugs, rock and roll, and a trillion miles from God. July 1966, he famously said, the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ. And even though a lot of Christians in America had a cow, he really wasn't slamming the Lord. He was just saying that the church then was not offering enough answers to young people like him. So he just drifted further and further away. 1969, him and the Beatles traveled to India and partied with the Mahesh Yogi. And John Lennon said Jesus wasn't the only way to God. Then he got hooked on LSD and said that everybody was God. John Lennon was as lost as dirt in a snowstorm. But because the Beatles couldn't tour anymore, because the crowds got so out of control during the concerts, he had a lot of time on his hands. He started watching television. And what do you know? He started watching TV preachers and TV evangelists. And even wrote letters to the 700 Club and to evangelist Oral Roberts asking, how could I know that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God? Here's one of those letters, a part of one of those letters that he wrote. I want real happiness. I don't want to keep on doing drugs. So explain to me how Christianity can fulfill me. Is it just phony? Is Jesus real? Can he love me? Because I want out of this hell that I'm in. And Oral Roberts wrote him a letter back. Touched his heart so much, 1977, John Lennon came out and said that he'd become a born-again Christian and started going to church. And the songs that he wrote at that time in his life, like Amen and Talking with Jesus show, he really did understand what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ was really all about. But one of the worst things to ever happen to John Lennon was his wife, Yoko Ono. Because she not only broke up the Beatles, she was a New Age freak that absolutely hated Christianity. So she took him down to South America to meet with a real live witch who finally convinced John Lennon Christianity was a lie. So after that, it was everything from Zen Buddhism to I Ching, tarot cards to Friedrich Nietzsche, and everything in between. And the songs he wrote at that point of his life, songs like Serve Yourself, showed he was doing nothing but mocking the Christian faith. And even though we have no idea that John Lennon ever came back to his faith in Jesus Christ before he was shot and killed in 1980, we also have no idea what was going through his heart and his mind in his last dying moments. And because we do know that John Lennon did know the plan of salvation, we can hope and we can pray that he repented and came back to the way, the truth, and the life before he took his final breath, because doctors said he lived about 6 minutes after he was shot. God only knows. But there's some people listening to this sermon right now. You are just like John Lennon. Because you keep going back and forth, from Jesus to the devil, from faith to no faith, over and over again like a ping pong ball. And the question is, how long will you waver between two opinions? Because life is too short, hell is too hot, and eternity is too long to keep changing your mind. So if Jesus Christ really is the Son of God and the Savior of the world and the only way to salvation, then commit yourself to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. And you don't let the devil or anybody else in the world, even the people closest to you, pull you away for that commitment for anything in the world. John chapter 8, verse 36, those whom the Son sets free are free indeed, and stay that way. The second thing we need to do in order to focus on salvation and get revival for Christmas, we need to receive His freedom. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to focus on salvation and get revival. We not only need to accept His forgiveness, we not only need to receive His freedom, but third, we need to share His message. And that's exactly what Isaiah is implying here by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus tells us over and over again, every single thing on this list that He did 2,000 years ago, He has called and anointed us to do today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." So preach the good news, get people set free, and start the revival. Share His message. And Christians, listen to me. We better be sharing that message. Because Americans are never, ever going to survive without it. All the policies that we have, the lockdowns today, make no logical, rational sense whatsoever. Just this past week, last Tuesday, the IHSA announced that high school wrestlers in Illinois could wrestle again as long as they didn't shake hands before the matches started. What in the world is that? So it's perfectly okay for wrestlers to crawl inside each other's skin during the match, just as long as they don't shake hands with each other before the matches start. People, that's crazy. But just remember, they canceled Thanksgiving, but they didn't cancel Black Friday. That's all you need to know about COVID-19. Hollywood actress Blake Lively has not set one foot outside of her house in Hollywood, California for 9 solid months. Not one time outside of her house since last March because of COVID. This is what she says. I am such a germaphobe about this COVID thing, and maybe it's because I know it could kill me, and I have no idea what's going to happen to me when I die. So it kind of scares me to even think about it. Too many Americans are terrified of COVID because too many Americans are just plain terrified of dying. Because they do not have that hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Share the message. The American Medical Association right now tells us that 1 out of every 5 Americans is depressed to the point of being suicidal. 1 out of every 5 people. Last Friday, December the 4th, 9:30 a.m., Woodbridge, California. 11-year-old Aiden Yanos had just started his Zoom learning class in his bedroom when all of a sudden he pulled out his dad's 9mm, shot himself in the head, and committed suicide right in front of all the other kids in that Zoom class watching it. Christians, you don't think that people today need to hear that there is salvation and hope in Jesus Christ? Share the message. Christians, God right now has put us in the dark so we can shine the light. So what in the world is it going to take for us to get up off our blessed assurance and start spreading the gospel? Our country needs revival. But listen to me. There's never going to be revival in America until there's, first of all, revival in the church. And I know there's some Christians listening to me right now. You're saying, Kevin, we see all those pictures that you have of revival meetings, Sean Foyt, all the things that go on in those meetings, people getting all emotional and crying and jumping up and down. Kevin, is that what you really want? Well, first of all, I have to say, it's perfectly fine that people get excited about Jesus Christ. But no, I don't want the experience. Been there, done that, been bored by that. I don't want the experience. I want the change that comes from revival. I want to see Christian marriage couples heal their marriages. I want to see Christians delivered from drinking and from porn. I want to see husbands come into church with their wives so their kids won't think that they can stay home too. I want young people in this church to stop acting like they're too cool for Sunday school and Awana and youth group. I want young people, Christian young people, to stop wasting their lives playing with their stupid phones. I want people coming to this church because the Lord is here, not because we've got Wi-Fi. I want to see more Christians at prayer meetings than we get at church picnics. I want to see Christians worshiping and not just singing because there is a difference. I want Christians to actually give a rip that we believers are on our way to heaven while unbelievers are on their way to hell in a one-horse open sleigh. I want Christians sharing the gospel and not just clickbait on Instagram. I need no dreams, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rending of the veil of clay, no angel visits, no opening of the skies. Just take the dimness of my heart away. That's what I want revival for. You say, well, Kevin, all we need to do is get the churches all together. I've heard that for 45 years, and it's never happened, and it's never going to happen. And you know why? Because the very thing that's supposed to keep the churches together to start with, the Word of God, has been abandoned. Here's the latest directives from the National Council of Churches. Get your congregations to confess the sin of their whiteness and their white privilege. And then affirm that the culture of white privilege and systemic racism must be dismantled for the cause of Christ to be advanced. Then help your congregation completely restructure our country so it will be one where all can be included. People, that's not focusing on salvation. That is caving to Black Lives Matter and a godless Marxist worldview that's trying to destroy this country. Ichabod to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. 9 through 11. Paul tells the Corinthians they used to be idolaters, prostitutes, and homosexuals. He says that is what you were. But when they came to Christ, they got saved and changed and totally sanctified, transformed. That is what they were. But today, the gay Christian movement, along with many, many churches, want us to change 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, so it says that is what you are. Not that is what you were, but that is what you are. Even though the original Greek says were. Implying, of course, that you can be a Christian and gay and totally sanctified in Jesus Christ all at the same time. People, that's an absolute lie. Christians, where in the world did you get this idea that you've got the authority to change the Word of God? And let me ask another question. Is anything wrong anymore? Because when abortion came along, we've got pastors blessing abortion clinics. When homosexuality came along, we've got churches doing gay weddings. Transgenderism, we've got pastors doing renaming ceremonies for the people in their church. Universalism, this demonic idea that everybody's going to go to heaven no matter what they believe. Christians, when in the world are we ever going to draw a line? And there's pastors listening to the sermon right now. For the love of God, you have got to grow a spine and stand up and start speaking truth about what's happening in this world. Because America right now is dying and going to hell in a handbasket for lack of God and His Word. So how in the world can you keep preaching yourself into irrelevance by staying quiet on the most critical issues of our day? And if you're afraid somebody's going to get mad at you, welcome to my world. I'll give you some pointers. Because I don't preach for likes and follows on Facebook or Twitter. I preach for Him and Him only who called me to do it. And Paul said, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, if you are preaching just to please people, you are not a servant of Christ. But we see that everywhere. We see the compromise everywhere. This past week, 9 justices on the United States Supreme Court rejected 2 attempts by Trump legal teams to overturn the fraudulent results of this election. Because even though the United States Constitution is as clear as the bells on Christmas Day, judges, governors, secretaries of state cannot make election law like they did that made Joe Biden the illegitimate president-elect of the United States. And yet 9 justices on the Supreme Court whose job it is to uphold the U.S. Constitution, including the 3 Trump appointees, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, people that we Christians prayed for and supported and went to the mat for, did absolutely nothing to stop it. Because they're too afraid of the personal and the political fallout to do their job. Couldn't get involved. So my fellow Americans, our nation is officially in serious, serious trouble because we no longer live in a constitutional republic. Because evidently the Constitution does not mean what it says. And if the Constitution does not mean what it says, then it doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't matter. But here's the even more important issue. Here's even the more critical issue. Christians, with everything falling around us and collapsing today, does the Word of God mean anything? Does this Bible still matter? God says, you won't draw a line, I will. And He is. Right now, God is drawing a line down every institution, through every institution in this country, and especially the church, separating the pros from the Joes, the seekers from the slackers, the prayer warriors from the pew warmers. You're going to follow the Lord, you're going to follow the world. There's the line. Because either this Bible is the Word of God or it's not. Either this Bible is true from cover to cover or it's not. Either we Christians are going to stand up and proclaim what this book says and bring revival to this country, or we're going to blow it off and watch this nation crash and burn. There's the line right here, right now. Who is on the Lord's side? Time to make a choice. God says you don't share the gospel, I'll do it myself too. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 says that God put stars, constellations, and planets in the sky to be signs for us. Not to make us do things like astrology says, but just to show us things like the Bible says. And we all know that God put a special sign in the sky at the first Christmas to guide the wise men to Bethlehem. And star charts from 2,000 years ago show that that sign consisted of the planet Jupiter in conjunction or very close to the planet Venus, both of those close to a star called Regulus, all in the constellation Leo the Lion. So what was God sending a message? What was that message he was putting in that sign? Well, Jupiter is the king planet. Regulus means majesty. Venus is the virgin or the mother. And Leo the Lion represents Israel. So the message that God was sending to the wise men through that sign, a majestic king was born of a virgin mother in the land of Israel. And the wise men came a-running. And what do you know? This month, December 2020, all kinds of funky things are happening in the sky too. Tonight, December the 13th, the sky is going to light up with meteor showers. And then the very next day, Monday, December the 14th, there's going to be a solar eclipse in the southern hemisphere, when the moon is going to pass in front of the sun and everything is going to turn freaky dark. But here's where it gets really good. This coming December the 21st is going to be something called Christmas Star of 2020. A very rare, once-in-a-lifetime event when Jupiter and Saturn are in conjunction with each other, so close they will look like one giant star in the western sky. Now, have Jupiter and Saturn ever been in conjunction before? Yeah, it happens every 20 to 40 years. But they have never been this close together since the year 1226. And get this, they have never, ever been this close together in the month of December. And astronomers say everybody in the entire world is going to be able to see it. So what's the message that trying to give us in the Christmas Star of 2020? Well, we know that Jupiter is the king planet. But notice, there's no Venus. There's no Virgin Mother. And why? Because the king is not coming back to this earth to be born into the world like he was the first time. So there must be another reason why the king is coming back to this earth. And what is that reason? Well, the symbol for the planet Saturn is the sickle, like it's used in harvesting. And Jupiter and Saturn are going to be in conjunction in the Christmas Star 2020 in the constellation called Sagittarius, who is the hunter who shoots arrows at his enemies. You see where this is going. So what is the message that God is sending us in this Christmas Star 2020? Hold on to your hats. The king is coming back to this earth to harvest believers and to destroy his enemies. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14 says, in the last days, the Lord will suddenly appear and His arrows will go forth like lightning. Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 25, in the last days there will be signs in the heavens above, and the greatest sign of all will be Jesus parting the clouds, come to take us home. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, every eye will see it, meaning every single person in the whole wide world will be able to see it. The heavens declare the glory of God, people. God wrote it in His Word, and this coming December the 21st, He's going to write it in the sky. Now, am I saying that Jesus is coming, that the rapture is coming on December the 21st, 8 days from now? Absolutely not. God is not saying that in this text. I am not saying that either. Don't anybody put words in my mouth. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But the Bible tells us over and over again that Jesus is coming soon. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that on the longest, darkest day of the year 2020, when we have had the pandemic and the lockdown and the economic meltdown and this bad election and everybody losing their minds all around us, all kinds of things that God has allowed to get people to look up to Him, what are people going to see when they look up? An incredible sign that God put in the sky exactly at this time of year, right at the start of Christmas week, to let people know Jesus came to earth the first time to die on a cross for our sins. He's coming back to earth a second time to stop this mess, to gather all of us believers up to heaven, and to reign and rule forever and ever and ever. Merry Christmas indeed. So share the message, start the revival, and even so, come, 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 Lord Jesus. As we sit in this church this morning, December 13th, 2020, in an absolutely crazy year. We've come to realize there's all kinds of things that we thought we could trust in and count on that we really can't trust in and count on anymore. Like courts and judges and election process and government and the medical industry with all the shady things going on with the coronavirus vaccine and the media. Don't get me started on the media. And even churches, because too many churches today have abandoned God's word and are preaching absolute nonsense. But isn't it good to know there are some things we still can count on? There are some things that we know are true. There still are some facts right here from God's word. Because we know for a fact that we are sinners. And we know for a fact that we need a Savior. And we know for a fact that Jesus is that Savior, because Jesus is the only one who ever did anything about our sin. We know for a fact that Jesus Christ came the first Christmas to die on a cross and save our soul. We know for a fact that Jesus is coming someday, very soon, a second time, to take us home and make everything right. This we know. But it's not enough just to know it. We've got to act on it. We've got to make decisions based on it. We have to respond to it. And there's some people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room, you've never done that. Revival starts by focusing on salvation. Your revival starts by focusing on your salvation. Because some of you are not saved. There's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You've never confessed your sins to God. You've never put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. I want to tell you today, it's not too late. You haven't missed the boat, because it's still boarding right now. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. You have no reason in times like these to put off this decision. Would you bow your heads and would you pray with me? Lord, I confess to you today that I am a sinner. I realize, Lord, that I have done things and said things and thought things that are not pleasing to you, that are wrong, according to your word. And I do believe, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you died on that cross, you died for me. And the blood you shed on that cross, Lord, is enough, more than enough, to take away my sins. I trust you as my Savior. Just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come into my heart, come into my life and save me. And give me the strength, Lord, to start living for you instead of living for the world. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. I just pray, Lord Jesus, for people who have prayed that prayer, Lord, that they would be serious about it. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them assurance by the power of your Holy Spirit that they do belong to you now. And Lord, that you love them, that you've got a plan for them. You're going to see them through, Lord, all the chaos, all the crazy things that are happening in our world right now. Just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Through the death you died and your resurrection. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.